This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Okay, I am here today with Serena Vitti from the University of College London. Serena has done a lot of work on a lot of different things. Serena, welcome to Jodcast.
Thank you.
First of all, can you, now looking through the list of papers that you've done, you seem to have done awful lot of different papers on awful lot of different things. Can you tell us exactly what you work on and why your interests are so far ranging?
Okay. Well, the reason why my interests are so far ranging is because my main interest is working with molecules. So I'm interested in molecules in space. So wherever you find a molecule, I'm interested in looking at it, studying it, and trying to see whether we can gather any information about the universe through molecules.
So what type of telescopes do you, or which telescopes do you use to study molecules?
So molecules tend to emit in the submillimeter, microwave, radio, and infrared wavelength. So nothing visible, I'm afraid. So generally, the telescopes that we use are the submillimeters and infrared.
So which telescopes have you used recently?
The main one that I've used, the ground base, is the JCMT in Hawaii, and also, of course, Herschel, which is a satellite telescope. These are the two main telescopes at the moment.
And I guess we'll talk a little bit later about which telescopes you'll be looking forward to using in the future.
Indeed.
So what can we learn from looking at molecules in space?
Okay. Well, molecules have these great characteristics that they emit different frequencies, and they can trace gas which is very hot and very dense, but they can also trace gas that is very cold and not so dense. So if you know how a molecule is made of, and if you know the structure of a molecule, you can use it as a tool to look at a variety of different environments in space. So a molecule allows you to look at a dark patch in space that you cannot see in the visible, and allows you to know what are the physical characteristics of this dark patch in space. If you want just an example, molecules are great if you want to look at the very early stages of formation of a star, because during those stages, the star is surrounded by a lot of gas, a lot of dust, and so you do not see the very early stage of its formation. And by looking at molecules, you can tell at what stage the star is and what the main characteristics are.
So what are the typical types of molecules that you would look at? For example, you described some molecules will trace hot, dense gas.
Yeah.
Other molecules will trace cold, dense gas. Which molecular lines would you look at to be able to tell whether or not you're looking at hot, dense gas or cold, dense gas?
Okay, so let me give you some examples. There are too many to mention all, but let's take, for example, carbon monoxide, which is the second most abundant molecule in space after hydrogen, the hydrogen molecule. Carbon monoxide has some lines, so emits in some conditions that can be defined as very cold and not so dense, and those lines can give you a lot of information about the gas that surrounds stars, for example. However, if you look at some other lines, more energetic lines of carbon monoxide, they can tell you quite a lot about the interaction between a very young star and its environment. And this interaction is very obvious if you look at some optical images in the form of jets and outflows that come out of a star and impact on the interstellar medium, on the gas surrounding it. And carbon monoxide can tell you quite a lot about that interaction.
Any other more exotic molecules that you like to look at?
Yes, so if you want to know a little bit about one of the most exotic molecules I've looked at, that's glycolaldehyde, which is a very basic sugar, and I've been told is related to life because it can actually form RNA or combine with RNA. I do not know the biological detail, but certainly it's one of the most exotic molecules I've looked at. This molecule has been detected in a couple of regions. In particular, has been detected in a region where massive stars are forming, and possibly planets, we don't know, of course. There's some evidence of disks around the stars where glycolaldehyde has been discovered. It is a very interesting molecule, of course, because it's so large, it could be prebiotic, and it's hard to know how it can actually form in space, because it's such a big molecule. It seems unlikely that it forms in the gas itself, so it's probably forming on the dust, and then evaporates back into the gas when the star is formed.
So you already mentioned that you work on jets out mm-hmm. of protostellar objects. There are a few other things, just looking through the number of papers that you seem to have worked on. So I saw that you wrote a paper a couple of years ago on the atmospheres of red dwarf stars.
This type of stars, as you call them, red dwarfs, they were an interest of mine quite a few years ago. They now became more of a hobby than my main research topic. But they're interesting because they are very small, very cold for stars. So if you think of the sun, the atmosphere of our sun is about 6,000 Kelvin, more or less. The atmospheres of these particular stars, red dwarfs, go from 1,000 Kelvin to 2,400 Kelvin, more or less. So they're quite cold. In fact, if you keep going down, you go into the regimes of brown dwarfs, which are the so-called failed stars, and then you keep going down in temperature, you of course get into the extrasolar planets regime. The atmospheres of these red dwarfs, just like the atmospheres of planets, are dominated by molecules. Molecules that do not dissociate completely at those temperatures of 2000 Kelvin.
What types of molecules?
The two main molecules that I've been working with are carbon monoxide, of course, and water. Water is everywhere in the atmospheres of the stars and causes most of the opacity. In other words, it basically obscures the light, in a sense, in certain bands of the spectrum, the lights from the stars. But most importantly, again, water is another of those molecules that can span a very wide range of density and temperatures. So in other words, you can find it in very cold environments and you can find water in very hot environments. And even within the atmospheres of the stars, you can use water to determine the temperature of the star, which is obviously very important if you want to know whether you're looking at a red dwarf or you're looking at a brown dwarf or maybe you're looking at a giant planet, for example. So we use molecules as diagnostics of the characteristics of these very tiny, small stars, which are, however, everywhere. So in number, they dominate the stellar populations.
I saw that you had another paper where you actually used molecular lines to look at interstellar magnetic fields and understand interstellar magnetic fields. Can you tell us about that?
That's probably quite difficult to do. It is maybe possible to look at the abundances or maybe the ratio between different molecules as a diagnostic of how strong the magnetic field is in a particular stellar environment. It's quite speculative, but if you have a high sensitivity, this may be possible for some molecules. Certainly OH is an example of a molecule that can be used to trace magnetic field.
And then one other thing which I know that you have been talking about recently is looking at molecules in very distant galaxies mm-hmm. at very high redshifts. Can you tell us what you're using molecules for in other galaxies?
Okay, so this is, I think, a very interesting topic for the future. Until quite recently, astronomers did not believe that molecules could be observed in faraway galaxies. Until a few years ago, the detection of carbon monoxide, again, was observed at a redshift of Z equals 6.42, which is very far away. If carbon monoxide is there, it's likely that many other molecules are there. So as the telescopes become more and more sensitive, there is no reason to believe that you should not be able to detect them at high redshifts. Keeping to now, then one has to basically observe molecules in more close by galaxies to get a feeling of what molecules do in other galaxies, because they may not do what they're doing in our own galaxies. Other galaxies are different in terms of energetic processes that rule the gas in these galaxies. So, for example, they may be dominated by strong ultraviolet radiation. They may instead be much more quiescent than our own galaxy. Depending on what type of galaxy you look at, the molecules will be distributed in different ways. So the idea behind our work on looking at molecules in external galaxies is to try to see whether we can use molecules to disentangle the different components within a galaxy. If you think of our own galaxy, you can take a telescope and look different parts of the galaxy. The further you go, the less able you are to do that, because within your beam you will encompass the whole galaxy. So how do you know whether whatever you're looking is coming from star-forming regions within this galaxy or more quiescent regions? And molecules can tell you that. So you can use molecules as a substitute for spatial resolution, basically.
Do you have any recent highlights from your research which you think are particularly interesting?
Well, I think the work on the glycolaldehyde, which we already covered, certainly is one of the main highlights of my work recently, simply because it's a very large molecule, quite unknown, and you can speculate regarding its origin. Another highlight, I would say, is this work that you just mentioned on the high redshift. I think that with the ALMA, for example, we should be able to use molecules more and more at a higher redshift. And so I'm looking forward to use our predictions for these molecules at higher redshifts to study them with ALMA.
Okay, can you tell us about what your plans are for the future? You've talked a lot about using various other telescopes, Herschel and the JCMT, even if you may not name those telescopes specifically. What telescopes are you looking forward to using in the future?
Definitely ALMA. ALMA is going to give us the opportunity of studying in detail the distribution of molecules in our own galaxy, star-forming regions within our own galaxy, as well as nearby galaxies and high redshift galaxies. So I think ALMA will be what will keep us occupied for the next few decades, probably.
Are there any other telescopes that you're looking forward to?
Well, of course, there is still the JCMT that is still very much alive and up and running. And recently there was a new instrument installed on the JCMT, Scuba 2, which should give us a lot of insights into the gas and dust of galaxies, for example. So I think a combination of the JCMT and ALMA would keep us occupied for quite a while.
Okay, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.